So now please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We'll be focusing on Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. It is found on page 1138 on your in your pew Bibles. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. So after speaking the seriousness of sin, Apostle Paul concludes in this chapter in Romans 8 that Christians, God's people, are no longer condemned by their sin and by their death. As those of you who were in the adults class this morning, Dr. Beeky was also referring to this passage as he speaks the assurance of Christians. But here Paul really emphasizes that we Christians, we live by the Spirit and have the privilege as God's children. And after going through all these wonderful blessings from God and from Christ, Apostle Paul moves on to conclude what he has been saying in the previous chapters and previous verses. So now let us listen to the infallible word of our Lord, Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This is the infallible word of our Lord. So Paul, Apostle Paul, in this Romans 8, he declares that in all these things, we are more than conquerors. So what kind of picture do you imagine from the word conquer, or conqueror, or even the word victory? You may imagine historical figures such as maybe Napoleon or Genghis Khan, and say that you have really nothing to do with that kind of conquering in the history or those victorious figures. You know, those, I should say, notorious figures, as we know from our history, really conquered vast territories and peoples in their day. They were the conquerors, and other people or nations were rather conquered by them. Do you think the word conqueror Paul uses here mean this kind of conquest? Well, of course not. So then, what does Paul mean by the word victory or the word conquer in today's passage? Indeed, you know, we usually live our daily life without thinking much about conquering something or being conquered by something. But I may have to add until recently, because when we look at the situation in Ukraine and in Russia, which most of us, I think, never really expected to happen, we see that the very, very conquest that is actually happening in the world today. But still, for many of us, we don't think this conquering is not really directly affecting us so much. It is also true that we are surrounded by sort of like the language of like pop psychology, so to speak, which says you must claim victory in your life. You have to achieve something. You must be a winner in your life. But honestly speaking, I think most of us Christians do not think so much about this kind of victory, don't we? We rather tend to focus on, you know, loving one another and being kind to our neighbors and other things like that. Of course, those things are absolutely important as Christians in our life. But in today's passage, the Apostle Paul clearly states that we are more than conquerors in verse 37. And this obviously does not mean we become Napoleon. Nor does this phrase justify, you know, one nation conquering the other. Nor does it mean we become winners in the eyes of our culture or our society by becoming wealthy or and prosperous in this world. As we have looked in this morning, we rather feel, you know, difficult when we see those other godless people prospering in this world. Well then, what does Apostle Paul mean by this word conquer? According to the Apostle, what is this victory? Over what do we gain victory? What gives us this victory? Let us examine today's passage closely to find out the answers to these questions. So first of all, let us think the question, from what do we have victory? Against what do we have victory? The opponent against which we have gained victory. What kind of things do we win against? In today's passage, Paul asks several sort of rhetorical questions, contending that none of these things he lists can stand in the way of our given victory. In verse 35, Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword?" You see here that Paul is stressing that none of these things will separate us from the love of Christ. And following this verse, Paul quotes from Psalm 44, which we have just sung, where the psalmist is mourning over his hardship as if he was a helpless sheep taken, you know, being led to be slaughtered. But brothers and sisters, let us think this first. Do we usually feel this kind of distress or this kind of tension in our daily life as we live here in Northern Ireland as Christians, as God's people? In other words, do we see tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword around us. It is true that Christians in the first century, in the New Testament period, they were actually persecuted by Jews and by Roman Empire. And it is true that even in today's world, our brothers and sisters in Christ are physically suffering from persecutions in quite a few places around the world. You know, we have prayed for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, of course. We pray for our Christians, our Christians brothers and sisters in Russia or in China or in other countries. I can't really list them all, but there are people who are actually in severe persecution even today. But what about us here living in Northern Ireland? Or even in Japan, where I'm from? I occasionally mention that, you know, there's only less than 0.5% of the population as Christians in Japan. So Christians are considered as an absolute minority. But still, we don't have this kind of tension always in our daily life. We do not always recognize this tension Paul mentions. But we all must realize first that these things do exist around us. And they are actually trying to separate us from the love of Christ. Some of you here may remember the Christian Institute ministry when they came over to and they spoke in our midweek meeting. You know, we are aware that even in this nation, in the United Kingdom, there are, for example, many like ethical issues and moral issues that are going on. You know, we hear about the LGBT issues. We hear about the euthanasia issues. We hear about abortion policies and so forth. You know, these things are happening around us. And these things are actually trying to separate us from our God. See, we don't see, some of you may think we don't see any persecution in this world, in the United Kingdom. But there are these forces around us which are trying to really separate us from God. See, some of them may say that Christians are rather, you know, harsh people. They are the segregationists, so to speak. You know, they are being really mean to those, you know, people, minority people. They say we're cruel to other people by saying, you know, Bible doesn't accept same-sex marriage and so forth. But are we really trying to be mean to those people? Are we trying to be cruel to those people? No, we are trying to really carry out God's love to our neighbors by following God's word, God's commandments. Because that is the only rule we have in this world. See, they are the ones who are trying to separate us from our God by accusing us, by claiming us that we are not good people, we are mean. You see, we live in such a world today, and we must first be aware of this. Back to today's passage, Paul addresses another list of things in verses 38 and 39 that may try to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul says, "Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth can separate us from the love of God." the things Paul lists here, I think, are all beyond our human ability. You know, there are many things that are above our knowledge and our ability as mankind. Maybe not here in Northern Ireland a lot, but in Japan we experience all sorts of, you know, natural disasters. We have tsunamis, we have typhoons, we have, you know, volcanoes, we have everything in Japan. And when we are suddenly hit by those disasters, we often feel like, why does God allow this to happen? And even with our quite developed modern technologies and quite developed, you know, societies and systems, these things really still suddenly hit us and can really kill many people in our nation. And we really become afraid, or many people really get discouraged. You know, some people may ask, if there is a God, why would these horrible things happen to us? Yes, there are things we humans cannot control. But they are still under God's rule. They are still God's creation. Please notice that Paul says at last in his second list, nor anything else in all creation. In fact, just before today's passage, earlier in Romans 8, Paul says that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. What he means here is that the creation around us, the world we live in, is deeply affected by the sin of ourself. The world is affected by the sin of man. And therefore, the world is itself in conflict with God and with us, the God's people. That is why I think Paul writes later in Romans 12, the famous verse, do not be conformed to this world. Because this world is itself against, you know, God the Creator. Because it is affected by our sin. But I think Paul emphasizes for us not to be conformed to this world, because it is so easy for us to do so. Isn't it? It is so easy for us to sort of compromise with the world around us. And when we do so, we sort of become dull and insensitive to the sin and corruption in the world and in ourselves as well. But we must remember this reality, first of all. The world around us is trying to conquer us. The world around us is trying to separate us from our God. And only when we acknowledge this reality, we can truly understand and appreciate the victory today's passage testifies, today's passage promises to us. Indeed, the psalmist in Psalm 44 also does recognize this reality, I think. So as we have sung and heard, Psalm 44 begins with praise to the Lord, who has given their fathers victory when they conquered the promised land. But compared to that past glorious victory, this psalmist mourns over his present situation. You know, he praises, he feels as if God is sleeping or hiding his face from him. If he tries to understand the circumstances around him, if he tries to understand the reality of the world apart from God, that is, as if there is no God, he feels like he is conquered completely by the world. But we know he didn't go that way. he still prays to God that he awaits for him. He awaits his salvation. Likewise, we also need to recognize our reality that the world around us is trying to conquer us. And affirming this, let us consider the next question. What gives us victory? What gives us victory? In today's passage, Apostle Paul claims, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Through what? Verse 37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That is God who loved us through our Lord Jesus Christ. This passage really beautifully summarizes God's love, which is shown particularly in the works of Jesus Christ. Please go back to verse 31. Starting from this verse, Paul really lists what has God done for us and what did Christ do for us. Paul says, God is for us. Verse 31. God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Verse 32. And then, God elected and God justified us. Verse 33. And from verse 34, Paul next draws attention to the redemptive works of Jesus Christ in this world. Jesus is the one who died on the cross for us. He is the one who was raised up from the dead for us. He is the one who has ascended to the right hand of God for us. And Christ is the one who is even now interceding for us through sending the Holy Spirit to us. See, we cannot look deeply into each of these works Christ has done for us. But you know, as you all know, each of these elements of Christ's work as human really has an abundant richness. And you can preach for hours by only looking into one particular verse of this chapter. Or you can maybe write, you know, tens or hundreds of books just by focusing on, you know, Christ's resurrection or Christ's death on the cross. I mean, it's really more than abundant. It's really deeply, you know, it has really deep richness. And Apostle Paul, after listing all these things Christ has done for us, Paul says, God's love for us is clearly seen through Jesus Christ. The Apostle John writes in one of the most famous Bible verses in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Well, John is also stressing here that God's love is shown in his Son. God's love is shown in his Son. And his Son, Jesus Christ, accomplished his work as a Redeemer. Therefore, we must first focus on this love of God. We must focus on this work of our Son, Jesus Christ. See, when we look at the world around us, we see and we should see the reality of sin. We should see the reality of the creation groaning because of our sin. But where is the victory then? We rather often seem to be conquered by the world around us. But today's passage urges us to focus on God's love. In such circumstances, we must focus on God, Christ's work through his cross, through his resurrection, through his ascension, and through his intercession. There is no hope but for us by looking at the world around us. And we find no hope by looking in our own heart, because we only find sin and its effects in us. Only when we focus on God's love revealed to us by Jesus Christ's works, we can see this hope of victory. And this brings us to our third question. That is, how do God's love and Christ's works give us victory? How do God's love and Christ's works give us victory? In other words, how do we become more than conquerors? Well, the answer is very simple. It is because Christ himself gained victory over this world for us. Jesus Christ achieved his own victory for us. In John 16, Jesus encouraged his disciples at the table of their Last Supper before his cross. And there Jesus said, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus said, "I have overcome the world." So Jesus overcame the world. He gained victory over the world, over the sin, he gained victory over death. He gained victory over Satan. Through what? Through his cross and resurrection. You know, as some of you may know, some Jews in their time, they were expecting the Messiah who can really militarily drive away all the Romans or the Greek, you know, empires and you know, establish their own kingdom by forces of army. They wanted to have someone who can lead them as a military leader. But what Jesus has done was completely different from that idea. Jesus didn't, you know, achieve victory over the Roman Empire by winning the wars and so forth. He gained victory through dying on the cross on behalf of our sin. And through his victory, Jesus has overcome the world. And we must know that his victory was for us. And we will experience the same victory by being united to this Jesus Christ by our given faith. Therefore, our victory is also not something like conquering other people or conquering other lands or achieving fame or achieving, you know, money or wealth in our own life, because Jesus, it wasn't what Jesus did in this world. We clearly see our victory in Jesus and his victory. The Bible promises us that we will experience the same victory that Jesus has gained. That is the victory over sin, victory over death, victory over the force of Satan, and the victory to receive our glory before our Lord. This is clear when we examine the context of today's passage also. Just before today's passage, Paul says in Romans 8:29 that the Son is the firstborn among many brothers. And further back to verse 17, here Paul says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ." You see here that Apostle Paul calls the Christians, calls us believers, brothers and fellow heirs with Christ. So then what do we inherit as Christ's brothers or Christ's fellow heirs? Well, Paul, it is clear that we receive Christ's glorious victory that he achieved through his cross and resurrection. That is what Paul is saying in today's passage. And also, in Romans 8:17, Paul presents an interesting fact. Verse 17, Paul says, "Provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him." See, Paul is here saying that when we suffer for the sake of righteousness, when we suffer for the sake of God, we are indeed experiencing the same suffering as Christ himself did. Christ's victory was accomplished through his suffering. So when we suffer in our life, and we see many of our brothers and sisters suffering in this world today, but we are encouraged when we think of us as experiencing the same suffering as Jesus Christ once did. When we suffer, we are given an opportunity to suffer for the promised victory as Christ himself went through. And that is exactly why the psalmist in Psalm 44, his mourning does not end in vain. Please notice that the cited verse in today's passage, verse 36, here the psalmist says, "For your sake we are being killed all the day long." For your sake, for the Lord's sake, he is suffering. He is aware of that. And observing this suffering, this righteous suffering, Paul gives us hope by really boldly proclaiming in the next verse, in verse 37, he starts saying, "No. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." See, brothers and sisters, we must be given hope by this victory that was first accomplished by Christ the firstborn. And we also inherit his victory as his brothers or his fellow heirs. There is nothing on our side that we can do in order to achieve this victory. See, we are the ones who often seek victory and success in this world in our own eyes, which often, or I should say always, end up in failure or in despair. We may often try to justify ourselves before the Lord and try to make ourselves righteous. But when we do that, we always find out that it is not possible. What we must do is to trust in this true victory already achieved by our Lord Jesus Christ. What we can do is to believe in Jesus Christ, to trust in this Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. So if there's anyone here today who has not yet placed your trust in this true victory that Jesus Christ has achieved, please consider doing so seriously, because this is the only way we can achieve true victory and true hope and true relief in this world. It is true that we are surrounded by a sinful world that is trying to separate us from God's love. And because of that, we need to really focus on God's love revealed to us by the works of Jesus Christ. We need to focus on the fact that Christ has already won his victory by his cross and resurrection. We need to focus on the promise that we are also made more than conquerors by being united with this Christ's victory. Some theologians prefer the phrase "already" and "not yet." Many of you, I'm sure, have heard this already. But we do live in the tension between already and not yet. You know, it is true that we do not experience the true glory, true victory Christ has accomplished yet fully. We are still under the effects of our sin. We are not made perfect yet. But still, the Bible gives us the absolute promise that we will experience the same glorious victory with Christ, and we are already made righteous, and we are already in under his promise of reaching to that same glorious victory with Christ. Please notice that the verb in verse 37, "we are more than conquerors," it is in the present tense. Paul doesn't say we will be one day more than conquerors, but Paul says we are more than conquerors. We are right now experiencing this victory through God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord. So therefore, let us focus our eyes on this God's love that gives us the victory. As we start our new week from today, I'm sure we will hear more about what is going on in this world. We'll hear more about, you know, what is happening in Ukraine, and we see the victory, the conquerors in this world. But because we are living in such world, we should focus on this true victory that is very different from the world's victory. We must focus on God's love that gives us this victory through the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word this evening, and we thank you for the victory you have promised to us through your love and through the works of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, please make us not to compromise ourselves to the world around us, but rather please make us realize and remember your love you have given us through Jesus. And please make us aware that the world around us is affected by our own sin, and they are trying to separate us from your love, Lord. Father, so please make us really focus on the works of Jesus Christ, his obedient life as a human, and his cross and his resurrection, that were all for the sake of us. Father, please make us fix our eyes on this Jesus Christ, who has completed redemption for us, and then is seated now in heaven, and even now interceding for us. Lord, please continue to guide us through your Holy Spirit, so that we can always have confidence and peace in our own life, because you are with us through Jesus Christ and through your Holy Spirit. And you have already promised us that we will share the same victory Christ Jesus has achieved in this world. So now receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.